What a wonderful process. I've been learning lots about all sorts of different things. Anyway, I'm Professor John Reed. I'm a doctor of clinical psychology. I'm a shock therapy researcher, or as we call it, I'm an electroconvulsive therapist. I've published numerous research studies and on ECT, and more importantly, several reviews of what the entire research literature says. And the reason I'm wanting to make a submission is to make sure that in deciding what to do about 898, whether to extend the period, I would like committee members to be fully aware of what the science says about the damage that this treatment can do. And if you understand that, then you might be reluctant to leave it longer before the psychiatrists have to come back and ask the probate court for permission to continue, because the damage I'm going to describe is accumulative over time and over the number of ECTs that people have. So to extend the period beyond the 45 days, I think, would be bad scientifically and medically, but also the damage is such that these patients' constitutional rights need to be protected as far as possible. So the damage comes in two main forms. I mean, you saw some of the damage from Sam Hancock earlier, which is very sad, of course, to watch Sarah try and communicate after the damage that ECT has caused her. The more common damage is cognitive in terms of memory. So ECT causes retrograde amnesia and anterograde amnesia. So retrograde amnesia is the loss of memories prior to the time of the ECT. So not remembering, in its extreme form, not remembering your wedding or those sorts of things, chunks of your life disappearing. Anterograde amnesia is the inability to form new memories, which of course puts some people's livelihoods at risk. If you're not able to remember the conversation you just had or the meeting you just attended. The frequency of this is, research is not good in terms of frequency, but the best I can tell you, and looking at all the research, is that it's between 12% and 55% of people will suffer persistent or permanent memory loss or brain damage. And I understand that the psychiatrists who use ECT don't like to use the term brain damage, but when an incident happens and the brain no longer works properly as a result of that incident, and that change is permanent, then I'm quite comfortable calling that brain damage. It's also important to know that women and older people are particularly susceptible.
Excuse me, Professor Reed, but your time is up. If you would please summarize. Thank you.
So thank you very much. So because of what I'm saying is, because of this damage, this evidence-based damage, even though ECT can help some people, it is not life-saving. There is no evidence that it prevents suicide, but it does help some people. But the risk of the damage I've described is such that it would be, I think, not a good idea to extend the period after which psychiatrists have to come back and ask permission to continue it, because the damage is getting worse as time goes on.
Thank you for your testimony, sir. I have Representative Palm, who has a question or comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Professor, can you just elaborate briefly on your last comment about how the female brain is affected more dramatically? I understand why an older brain might be. Can you just explain that a little bit in lay person's?
We don't know why women experience more memory loss and brain damage from ECT. The whole area is very poorly researched, and it's a rather cavalier approach to the sort of treatment. So we don't know. The best theory is that every time you have an incident of shock therapy, the threshold for the next seizure increases, because the purpose of each electric shock is to cause a convulsion. I know that's strange, because one branch of medicine is trying to cure convulsions and epilepsy, and we have this other branch trying to cause convulsions, which is a strange situation to be in. But the brain tries to protect itself by creating a higher threshold. So every time you have the second one and the third one, you have to have more electricity to create the convulsion. And there's a theory that for some reason, that increase in the threshold occurs faster for women, if that makes any sense. So somehow they've got a built-in better protective system so that more electricity is needed. And it's electricity that causes the damage, of course. But that is only a theory. We don't really know why women experience more brain damage than men.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you so much. Seeing no other comments or questions, we thank you for your testimony.